This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Welcome to your first full week of work in the new year. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and it's almost a full week of school for children, too, as mine just left the building. I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 6th, episode 2342, brought to you by, you guys are awesome, our auditors. Good morning, horse world.
I have good news and bad news for you on this Monday morning. First, the bad. It's Monday. But the good news is really good. Jamie and Glenn are here to guide you through another week filled with horse talk and a whole lot of fun. Welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Nice. I like that, Glenn. Very cool. We're here to guide you in a very twisted, backwards way through your week.
Oh, I should have added that. Darn. We need new bumpers. We've been playing some of these bumpers for 7 years. So you're going to hear some new bumpers this year.
Yay. Good job. Yes. Sadly, this is what you have to help you through the week.
I hope that we can help lighten it up a tiny bit for you this week. Although on today's show, we have our Australian correspondent, Fiona Deering. Some of you longtime listeners might remember her. She did the Australian episode for us for a long time. She joins us to give us an update on the horrible fires that just have caused so much devastation in Australia. And then we also have Deanne from Horse Nation, who's here with her first appearance of 2020. We're going to have some fun with some movie/horse names and our happy stories. We might have one or two of those to get you through the day as well. So we have a lot planned for today. You worked with some horses over the weekend. I saw one of them had ulcers.
That's your diagnosis for everything.
Everything. That's right. I'm there with the rest of the crowd. Just call it ulcers and be done with it. But first, we have some Daily Whinnies. And a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
One birthday with the auditors today. It's unusual that we just have one. We have Deb Webster. Happy birthday to Deb. And we want to welcome some new auditors that have popped in this year. We have Chris Van Buskirk and Nink C, which I think is a nickname. So we want to welcome both of them. And also, there's some people that upped their pledges. Laura Berry, Danielle Rigby, and Linda Crew all raised their pledges this year. So thank you so much for doing that. We really appreciate it. We are Wednesday going to have an announcement for auditors. I have to talk details with Jamie after, but let's just say we're going to be giving something a little extra to the auditors. Jamie and I are, so that's going to start hopefully next week if we can get it all figured out. But we're looking at adding some things for auditors this year, and we'll talk more about that and how you can become an auditor later in the show.
The list of people that are going to get my Daily Whinny today so far are Chad, my dad, Abby, who's Lucas's like longtime BFF babysitter. Let's see. Glenn, you're going to be on the list.
What? And, I am never on the list.
And then my mom and my brother.
What did
and
we
I'll
do?
Tell you why.
It has to be a happy thing. It's Daily Whinny, so it's good, right?
So I work in the barn a lot, and my house is right next to the barn. So Lucas a lot of times spends time in the house while I'm out riding. Well, we eventually someday are going to, in the next 3 or 4 months, move into the new house that we've been building to move out of this tiny little nightmare that I live in. And so that's a little further away, and I started thinking, I'm worried about Lucas being in the house by myself without him. So I got him a phone watch. okay, this thing is cool. So it's a watch, but he can like call people on it. And I can create a list of people that he can call like with the watch.
Wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this.
So currently I think Chad this morning has had 47 phone calls.
Glenn is not on that list, right?
Abby got 12 yesterday, and my dad got about 6 or 7, and Glenn, I'm putting your number on there today.
Great. You know, I haven't had much experience with children, and Jemmy came up with her kid, who's Lucas's age, a tiny bit older, but JoJo was up, and we were supposed to go to the movies one night, and Jemmy conveniently was sick, so she couldn't go, so we had to go to the store. I had to take the 7-year-old to the movies. Now, I don't have a lot of experience with children, and boy, can they talk.
Just put him in the back seat. That's the way you start.
Well, he was in the back seat, but boy, they can talk from back there too. Kids are chatty. Holy smokes. I wasn't expecting that.
Jake, that is a compliment. That means he's comfortable with
okay.
you.
Okay. All right. I'll take that.
And my kid's going to be very comfortable with you once he calls you 47 times today.
I have figured out how to block numbers on my phone. Is it bad to block a 6-year-old?
Don't you block my baby. I'll come after you.
Does he have anything to say when he actually calls people?
Let's see. This morning he wants to play online video games with Chad, who's currently in Houston, about to get on a plane to like California. So I think he mostly walks around he's just happy to know you're there. So it's okay. He doesn't say much.
He doesn't wear his watch at school, does he?
We just got it, and I've let him know that he cannot wear it to school.
Are they allowed to bring phones into school at that age?
I know that Abby in high school, she will literally call me from school. I'm like, aren't you supposed to be studying or doing something? She's like, I'm between classes, or I'm at lunch, or yeah, I'm just, she texts during class. Like, I don't know what the rules are these days, but I know that I would have broken all of them.
God, they didn't even want us to have calculators.
I know.
Yeah. I can't imagine that. I would have never got anything done. I would have been a sad case if I had had a phone.
Trouble. I mean, dear God, I already tried to find every way to cheat. This would have been so easy.
You know, that's how I met my first girlfriend in high school, was she was cheating off my paper. And that's how I met her. That should have been an indication that maybe it wasn't going to be a long-term thing. But
did she realize that all your answers were wrong and she was cheating?
I told her that's how we met.
You don't want to look at this.
That's how we met. So you remember how I told you that Scooter, my driving pony, was all good now and he trusted me and everything? We had that conversation last week.
He's totally perfect. I think it was Friday you were describing him as an angel.
Yeah, well, he's still good, but he had a little incident over the weekend. We were driving around the neighborhood with one of the Jennifer was riding with one of the neighbors. So there were two riders and me. And you don't ride around your neighborhood, so this probably doesn't happen a lot to you, but trail riders know this. There are days when it seems like everything is out to spook yours. There are days when nothing happens and everything's quiet, and then there are days when it all happens at the same time. So at one point in this drive around the neighborhood, we had a truck coming. We never get traffic, by the way. We had a truck coming the one way. We had two bikers coming. We had a car coming behind us, and there was a flock of turkeys in the road.
Yeah, those are all. Some of those are fairly big challenges.
Well, all at the same time, fortunately, Scooter was perfect for that. So their two horses were dancing a bit, but Scooter was perfect, especially the turkeys. I mean, they look at turkey. There was a flock. It was like a dozen. So, and of course, the turkeys all run off really fast, which horses love when things do that. So we had that situation. Every horse from the northeast and from the central part of the country has now moved into our neighborhood now. They're all here from the north. All the snowbirds are here. So all of the warm bloods, by the way, I'm a little impartial to warm bloods. You can send your mail to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com if you own warm bloods. But they are very curious, and they like to run around in their fields when you go by. Every warm blood here seems to go crazy when a horse goes
by. You're double toxic, okay? And I'll tell you why. As a horse owner, My horses, for some reason, are terrified of ponies. All horses are terrified of little horses, not just ponies.
They're terrified
but like
of minis, especially.
Little horses, yeah. Minis,
mini donkeys,
hackneys.
Especially.
And then, in addition, you're driving a cart, which is it might as well be like you're pulling a dragon behind you. I mean, that's how terrifying it is. So it's not their fault. Don't you blame it on the Warmbloods. I'm the owner of 3 Oldenburgs.
Okay. Send your hate mail to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. So we come to this, and he was fine. He was terrific through this whole drive. And we come, and for some reason, he has trouble with white horses. And this new white horse he hadn't seen before, some kind of Warmblood, a dressage horse, comes running up to the fence. And it's kind of dark in that section, and he sees it, and I thought, well, we're okay. He sees it. But then we had the trifecta. It was a white horse. It was semi-dark. The horse takes off running, and it was in leaves. And he has this thing about things running in leaves. So we bolted down the wrong side of the road. And fortunately now, the difference with his bolting now is I can actually think and not panic. So I'm less panicked, and I can think more and concentrate on what's happening. Thank God there wasn't a car coming, because we were down the wrong side of the road. And I managed to get him semi under control, and I saw I had an opening in the one lady's yard, and I turned him into the yard, and we managed to get him turned around, and he stopped. So we only went maybe 50 feet, but and I was better in the situation this time. So I think that I'm not as panicked, so he's not as quite as panicked, and it ended a little better than other times.
I think I would give $75 to watch you on a bolting pony in a cart. I mean, that might be.
Unfortunately, Jennifer never has her phone out because we never quite know when it's going to happen. So. And then the thing is, I said to both of them, I want to ask him right now, what was it about that particular situation that you were scared of when the flock of turkeys, the truck, the bikes, and everything else?
I can tell you exactly what it was because you described it as a side note. But if you go back and you listen to, I believe it was Retired Racehorse Radio, when we interviewed Dr. Siemens, and he did a whole description on how the horse sees things. Like, you and I walk into a dark barn, and it takes, like, you know, 10, 15 seconds for our eyes to adjust. A horse walks from the light to the dark, and it takes them like 4.5 minutes. For their eyes to adjust. And so you went from bright to dark. There's a white horse, which clearly is a ghost zombie.
Yeah, exactly.
And runs around in the leaves, which you still haven't done your homework because Monty Roberts came on here and told you to scoop up a bunch of leaves, put him in the stall, and make him walk around. And that's his stall bedding, but you haven't done it yet. You're just like all the others who don't do their homework when you're supposed to do it. And so that is all of it. So just be more cautious and aware that when the light changes, your horse, like, that's why so many horses have trailer loading problems. You know, you want to just walk them from the bright to the dark. Well, give them a second to look inside it and have their eyes start to adjust to see why things are different. You know, so just keep in mind
and that's
your
why
horse,
shadows are a problem too. For
yeah, your horse is right and you're wrong. So.
Although, you know, as I said, thank God there wasn't a car coming. But I have found myself, my dad, when he taught us to drive, he had to teach 4 boys to drive. So there was that. But
cars.
When he taught us to drive cars, he said, you always look for your out. Defensive driving. Always look for if that car comes across the road directly at you, where's your out? So I do find myself with him always looking at where my out is.
Your daddy giving you valuable life lessons.
So I'm always looking, okay, if there is a car coming, he were to bolt right now, I can get him to go right through that person's yard, right? Or do we run into the trees? Where do we go now if something was to happen? Now, I find myself doing that without even thinking about it now. Which
you have the mind of a pilot. This is exactly what Chad has to do all the time flying the plane. You said you would be a pilot if you could. That's amazing because, yeah, you're always trying to see, like, if this happens, what am I going
to
do?
I imagine taking off and landing, they have to be thinking about that all the time. What's their out? Because I know they practice, what do they call that, touch and goes, right? Where they go to land and then they take off again.
Well, there's lots of emergency procedures in place that I don't know anything about, so I can't speak for it. But I'm glad you survived the terrifying zombie phantom ghost horse.
Okay, and the other thing is white horses. Who invented them? Because they're just terrifying.
I got to say that I haven't really owned many white horses, but the ones that I have owned pretty much are stained black anyway, or red. Right. So right. I don't know.
They don't stay white for very long.
They don't stay white, though.
No. So you posted a video. I'm going to get the audio off of it for Wednesday just because it's funny. But you posted a video over the weekend. You're working with this horse and has a little bit of an issue, too.
Yeah, so
I don't know if it's ulcers. That's just my answer.
That's Glenn's issue to everything. And it's funny, I do treat them all. I start them all on omeprazole as soon as they get to my house. This is a horse. His name is Valid's Final. And I talked a little bit about him on Friday. But Valid's Final is the final foal of a horse named Valid Expectation, which apparently is the polo player's dream. So much so that a polo player even cloned Valid's Expectation. And so I do have a lot of interest in him. A lot of people, but he's 16 hands and they like him like 15-1. So I'm filtering through a lot of
the
people.
They need a longer mallet.
I think so. Yeah. Or just be shorter people. So Valid is Final. He has kind of a sad story. He was adopted out and sent to a barrel racer, and they had him like going around the barrels in 2 weeks. Well, then about 2 weeks later, the rescue found him in a kill pen, the Kaufman kill pen in Texas, which is, you sign a lot of paperwork to make sure that you're not going to do that. You know, when you adopt mm-hmm. these horses, if you don't want them, you know, trainers get a stipulation of selling them once they're educated. But these guys, you know, you have to, even as a trainer, I had to sign that I would keep Groot for a year when I adopted him. So there's a lot of stuff in place. I don't know how rescue people do it. Y'all are amazing because it's just exhausting. So somebody sees him in a kill pen in Texas and the rescue buys him from the kill pen for $1,500 and then has to spend another $500 to ship him back up to Oklahoma. So he was adopted for $1,000 and then they paid $2,000 to get him back. So the math, if you have a great rescue, oh my gosh, support them because this horse and hound is just amazing. It's just a great place. Anyway, so I get him. He is super chill. He's super calm. He's kind of stoic. Like nothing really bothers him. It's amazing. Day two, I was on him and just sitting on him. And then day three, I rode him. And that's the video that I posted in the auditor's room. You put your leg on to get him to move forward. Now, mind you, I haven't ridden him and I haven't checked every saddle. I have like 8 different saddles that are all varying degrees of garbage. but I have them all because they're all different sizes. And I just put one on him thinking it might work. And I get on him and every time you put your leg on to get him to go from the walk to the trot, he throws his head up and pins his ears. Mm. And so I'm
ulcers
trying to,
for sure.
Yeah, definitely ulcers. So I posted it in the auditor's room just to see if anybody else saw anything. And I also, there's a page for Monty Roberts certified instructors. So I posted it in there as well. And the kind of general consensus was, hey, give him a little bit of time, work on the saddle fit. You know, I do want to get him chiropractic and acupuncture, although somebody's coming to look at him this week, so I might just wait on that.
That's the hard thing with working with these horses. They're not your horses. So
I know.
There's a fine line between how much money do you spend, and every rescue has to think about that.
Well, here's the thing. When I had Ridge, the last horse, I had an anonymous donor pay for 2 acupuncture and chiropractic sessions, which are $150 a piece. And this anonymous donor, who is also a listener, gave me $300 to spend on these horses. Well, I've only used one. So I have one more that I could use because Ridge went back because he was better. You know, he's fine. So I still have this one and the money's burning a hole in my pocket. And I'm like, I need to get everybody. but I think that what with him, I'll wait a little bit. I changed saddles and he was a lot better yesterday. Still has it. But how much of something that is pain related is also a learned behavior, you know? So trying to mix it up a little bit. Another instructor said, you know, teach him voice commands and then get on him without using the leg and see if the walk to the trot is the same, or, you know, there's just a million things. But again, it's very premature. But I did post a video of him pinning his ears and putting his head up. But again, I wasn't asking much, but I did change the saddle and things seemed a little bit better yesterday. But I mean, if this was my horse, I'd get his hocks done. I'd do acupuncture. I'd do chiropractic. We'd have a MIP, we'd have GastroGuard. You know, we have I do have him on Biotic 8 because that's just things that I just do for all of the horses. But I would get him on the Regenerac. I would get, you know, there's a million, I would spend $1 million on this horse if he was mine, but I kind of have to work with what we have, you know what I mean? So we're going to see what happens. And it's super interesting. All these horses have had complete, for all being the same breed, my God, they've all been 1,000,000% different from each other.
That's cool. That's cool though. That I think, doing this, you're going to be so much a better horse person after you're done. I mean, you're already graduated in like a Master Monty, but it's just going to help, right?
I mean, I just tell you the
honest
to God.
Is there a title, by the way, with certified instructor? I think Master Monty would be better.
I really, to be honest, there's a one thing that when I'm working with these horses that I feel, and y'all can laugh at me all you want. I know you're going to laugh, Glenn, but I totally see these horses and I'm like, hello, okay, what are you doing? What do you need? How can I help you? What are you telling me? I am Amy from Heartland. Okay. And that is how I feel. And I channel my inner Amy every time I'm working with these horses and I find it beautiful and I need to catch up on the final season of Heartland. She needs to be my best friend.
Okay, Amy.
So when you said Master, you know what my title is? Just call me Amy.
Well, we are going to head to an interview that I woke up very early this morning to do because it's very late there.
I do have my list, too, if you want to wait on the interview.
Well, let's do the interview and then we'll do the list.
Okay.
So before we get to that, I just wanted to mention that this episode is sponsored by our auditors. We have a group of about 400 people who really see value in the shows here at the Horse Radio Network, not just this one, but all the shows, and have chosen to support it. And one of the ways they support it is by just donating a little bit of money each month, anywhere from $3 to $25. And they are doing that through Patreon, which is a company that does that. You can find out how to do it by going to horseradionetwork.com and just scrolling down. And excuse me, on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a banner for becoming an auditor. We called them auditors. I got that question because most people in the podcasting world that use Patreon call them patrons. So we got asked the question, why do we call them auditors? Because auditors at a clinic sit and watch. And listen, right? So that's how we came up with the name auditor, because in the horse world, the auditors are the ones that listen.
And I would like to say thank God they're not watching, because y'all don't want to know what I'm wearing right now.
You know, that is one of the things we could have done as a bonus, is had it, the auditors be able to watch us on video. And then Jamie said, hell no.
So. Y'all don't need insight to this world.
And besides, then it's just sitting watching us talk on a microphone. Pretty much that's boring. So we do have some ideas that we're going to approach on Wednesday, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that. If you want to become an auditor, if you find value in what we do or get a laugh or just helps to get through the day, then you can go and become an auditor for as little as $3 a month. And
basically, what we need is Scooter needs some more food. He's starving.
Well, that is a good point. Half of that money goes back to the hosts of the Horse Radio Network shows every month. So they get a little bit of a raise every month, and they get paid directly by you every month. So they appreciate that, too. And it is appreciated by all of them. So that's how you become an auditor. That's what you can do, and we're going to be providing more value. We're going to be changing up the tiers a little bit, and we're going to be providing more for the auditors as the year goes on. And of course, you hear us talk about auditors all the time, and that's what it is. It's that group, and they have a fantastic Facebook room. It is so positive, and they talk about everything in life, from life to death. I mean, everything in there is talked about, and it's a positive, supportive community. So we hope that you choose to become one as well. Well, you know, it isn't all happy and fun sometimes in the world. And one of the things that's going on and has been for the last month is the fires in Australia. It is a terrible situation. And I reached out to Fiona, who is our Australian correspondent and who lives in Victoria, where a lot of the fires are going on, to find out exactly what the situation is and what's happening there. And we recorded this early this morning. And then we're coming back with some equestrian first world problems. And Jamie has a list called 19 Extremely Specific Things You Did One Last Time Without Realizing It. And I hope there's a couple of things I can think of that I'm going, God, I hope it wasn't the last time. So let's hope those aren't on the list. But we'll be back with that in just a second after we talk to Fiona. So as I mentioned, back with us, who used to come on for all the time, is Fiona Deering, and she is from Australia. And Fiona's our Australian correspondent, and unfortunately, we're having you back at not such a great time for Australia.
Not great time, but hello, everyone, and thanks. It's lovely to be back. It's great to hear your voice again.
Yes, it's good to it's always good to hear your accent. It's lovely.
It's not a very big Australian accent. It's a little bit, you know, I can find bigger Australian accents for you.
I'm sure you could. So tell us about the scope of the fires down there. I don't think a lot of Americans have a really good idea of the scope of things.
No, well, look, they're actively burning, certainly in Victoria and New South Wales at the moment. And South Australia has also had some fires. And in fact, I read somewhere earlier that there are were emergency warnings in every state at some point not so long ago. But in terms of something for your listeners to understand, at this stage we've got around 6 million hectares burned, which is about 23,000 square miles. So that's basically the equivalent of West Virginia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and these are still active fires. So we still have, in Victoria, we still have 14 active fires. In New South Wales, I am guessing, because I actually don't have power at the moment, so I had all these things that I was going to look up ready for your call tonight, and now I don't have power, so I can't look it up. But I imagine there'd be a similar number burning in New South Wales also. So it's, you know, it's just a massive scope, and really this is the beginning of our fire season. We, you know, our fire season would traditionally be February, March, and particularly the fires in New South Wales have been burning since before Christmas.
Now, is it because of drought? Usually it's because of drought, so I'm assuming that's the case down there, hot weather and drought.
Yeah, it's a combination, and, you know, there are a lot of people saying, giving a lot of reasons, which is,
there's a lot of...
Yeah, absolutely.
Even in Australia?
Yeah, yeah. A few opinions. But, you know, there's been a lot of concern over, there's been a lot of dry fuel build-up through our national parks that may not have been, people believe that may not have been necessarily managed as best we could through cool burning or allowing dead wood to be taken out. And we have been in drought for a long time, so obviously, you know, there's not a lot of places in Australia at the moment that you'd want to accidentally drop a match. And then the weather conditions have impacted it also with, you know, high temperatures, high winds, low humidity. So it just, you know, when these fires start, they just can't stop them. The best our amazing fire services can do is make people, try and get people out, make people safe and protect assets as best they can. So we're in a position now, particularly in Victoria, where they can get in and do some recovery at the moment and assess damages, but we're looking at another very bad day on Friday. So, you know, it's not over by a long shot. These fires are still going. They're not contained. They're just too large to actually put out.
Now, you know, what comes along with that, let's talk about the animals a little bit, and then I want to talk to you about smoke, too, because that's another thing people don't think about unless you've lived near one, is yeah. It's horrible. But the Huffington Post posted last Thursday, a half a billion animals speared dead in Australian wildfires, including kangaroos and koalas and birds mm-hmm. apparently just falling out of the sky. What is that number accurate, you think? You think that is there a lot of talk about the animals?
There's a huge amount of talk about the animals. I don't know how you can put a number on it. I know the Department of Agriculture have sent a number of vets to the to some of the more severely affected areas. Our local animal rescue services for particularly native animals are putting calls out for people to, you know, make pouches and all sorts of things to for the survivors to be able to go into and rehabilitate. In particular for the heavy, the cattle and the horses and that larger livestock, some of those signs aren't going to be seen for a little while because in that, as a fire front comes through, obviously an animal engages its fight or flight response, which uses up all of its magnesium reserves. And then they seek magnesium, which they'll go to the ash or burnt buildings, and that brings a massive heavy metal toxicity load which settles in their gut like cement. So obviously over time that's not great in terms of colicking and things like that. Right down to them walking on fire fields, the ash will set in their hooves like cement, and if it's not picked out and people can't get in there again because they're exclusion zones, it retains the heat and affects the blood vessels in the hooves and causes laminitis. And then the other thing, particularly with these large animals, as in cattle and horses, is that subcutaneous fat will take on the load of the heat to keep the internal organs cool, but then that will blister and abscess. So you've got very, very large wounds to deal with. So not a lot of these things that necessarily seen immediately after the fire, but certainly in the weeks afterwards, you're going to find significant health issues. And I mean, you know, some of these farmers, particularly with cattle and sheep, have lost entire herds that they may well have spent generations building up and creating specific bloodlines.
Yeah, and it's a little different down there than it is here, with the exception of maybe Texas and some of the Midwest, in that your ranches are huge. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not 10 acres. They're huge. And rounding up the animals when a fire breaks out quickly is the hardest part, because when we talk about them being on the back 40, they could be on the back 1,000, you know. So it's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah. And look, you know, certainly the toll on the native animals is massive. And, you know,
they're estimating 2,000 koalas. I just bring up koalas because they're the ones everybody knows and love, right? So
I know. They're so cute.
Yeah.
No, but it's just, look, it's really, it's absolute devastation. And I mean, then obviously the ongoing issues with smoke and respiratory issues for the animals and the peoples. It's a long way from over, that's for sure.
I mean, we're just talking about the animals, but there's, you know, thousands, if not tens of thousands of people that have lost their homes and a lot of people have died. I mean, it's not exclusively the animals here. The smoke is always an issue too, and you mentioned that before we started chatting on the air, that smoke's been bad where you are.
Yeah. Oh, I've just got power. sorry, all the lights just came on.
That's good.
Whew, that was exciting. I'm out towards Ballarat in Victoria, so we're a long way from danger. Our air quality today has just been appalling. I've been trying to work horses and have just gone, I don't actually want you to start puffing or
breathing
sweating.
Heavy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've just, and you know, they're not mine, they're clients' horses, so we don't really want to break them. I've got friends who live in Canberra, the nation's capital, and their air quality. They're not able to go into their offices. The city offices and the universities are shut down at the moment. The hazard air quality rate, and I'm not quite sure what these numbers mean in terms of how they're represented, but hazard level starts at 200, apparently, and in Canberra on New Year's Eve, it was 5,100, which is, you know, I mean, I've got friends that have been told, don't leave your house. So that's obviously a lot worse than what we are here. And Canberra's in a little bit of a pocket that, you know, in winter flying in and out of Canberra can be tricky because of the fog. So obviously that's a place where smoke and fog lays. But it's a huge issue for anyone with respiratory challenges. And then, you know, there are the huge temperatures we've had as well and rolling blackouts, as I've just evidenced. You know, people, particularly in Canberra and those areas, have been asked not to use their air conditioners and not to put your dishwasher on, or don't wash your clothes tonight because we need to conserve the power so we don't have to start rolling blackouts. Now, particularly in Victoria and parts of New South Wales now, communities are sort of moving temporarily from an emergency footing to more of a logistics footing. So being able to get in and assess damage, return power, get phone towers back up, because, you know, these people have been without power for a week or 5 days or a week. You know, in particular in places like Mallacoota and Eden on the Vic New South Wales coast, sort of around that border area, you know, there were 4,000 people on the beach, and they brought the Navy in to ferry them out because there was no other way for them to get out. And these are areas that are huge holiday areas at this time of year also.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, one thing that really surprised me, because I've never seen this before, and it just goes to show that I think everybody loves Australians. There's a fundraiser on Facebook.
Yep.
And it's up to $25 million. I have never seen that before. You know, and I think it's true. I think everybody loves Australians. And I'm looking at the comments from around the world and from, you know, 50 different countries here. And I just think Australia and your animals, I mean, your fuzzy and furry and lovable animals. I mean, you guys don't like the kangaroos as much as everybody around the world does. But so
they just don't like driving in the dark when they're bouncing a lot.
Yeah, which is an experience that 90% of the world has not had. But yeah, it's just incredible.
My car's got a big dent in the front of it.
The support that some of the fundraisers have gotten for these fires.
Mm. Well, it's all going to be needed. And there have been huge hay convoys going down in Victoria, down to East Gippsland, so that stock can just have some food on the ground. So that's been amazing. But initially, you know, at the moment they're saying, look, stop sending us stuff apart from feed, I guess, because no one, you know, we're really not quite sure where we're at, but yeah, the money so that people can start to rebuild. You know, there's, you know, we don't know how many properties are lost yet. Our CFA in Victoria and the RFS in Sydney are just absolute superheroes. They're the largely volunteer fire services. Our national broadcaster, the ABC, have been amazing at across both television and radio, just making sure everyone who has access to those mediums has as much information as possible. So there are people out there just doing incredible things. But our next day of danger is Friday. And, you know, traditionally in past fire events, we've had one catastrophic day and then it's passed and we've been able to restock and start to, you know, assess the situation and, I guess, rebuild, for want of a better word. But this is just having one catastrophic day after another with very little time in between. And, you know, these volunteer networks are obviously getting exhausted.
Well, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. Appreciate the update. And obviously, we're wishing all of our friends and listeners, we have a lot of them down in Australia, we're wishing you guys all the best. And we hope for rain. A lot of rain.
Well, so yeah, a lot of rain. So do we. And lovely to speak to you. I just wish it was under slightly happier circumstances.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Fiona. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Bye.
Well, we do wish our best for everybody in Australia. You know, we've talked about this with the California situation, but, you know, they've had so much acreage burned, it's the size of West Virginia. And I've driven through West Virginia many times. That's a big state. So our best to them.
Absolutely.
Also, I wanted to mention that listeners may have noticed that Omega Alpha wasn't our title sponsor on this episode for the first time in 10 years. And that's because they're not going away. They're just moving shows. They're switching around the shows that they're going to be advertising on. So you're going to hear them on some of the other Horse Radio Network shows coming in 2020. They're not going away. We're just switching things up a little bit. And we thank them for being so supportive of Horses in the Morning all of these years. So you'll still hear Dr. Chang. Just I know they're going to be on Horse Tip Daily and maybe some other places. So you can catch them over there. Which do you want to do first?
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's do the list because I've got that in front of me. And okay, this is a list from BuzzFeed of the...
BuzzFeed.
Yeah, 19 things you did...
Do you think there's like 100 employees over there that all they do is think up these wacky lists?
It looks like they compiled it from Twitter because it was they must have put out a post like, hey, what's something that you did for the last time that you haven't done in a long time? And this, I don't think, will resonate with anybody who's like under 25. And some of them, like even to me, I was like, what? But you'll get all of them because, you know,
because I'm old.
So one was you burned your last ever CD. And I guess, too, you made your last mixtape at some point in your life.
God, do you remember trying to burn CDs? What a pain in the ass it was.
I was never good at burning CDs, but I did make some hell out of some mixtapes, recording on your boombox, and you'd put tape on the top of your cassette to get it to record. Do you remember that?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then, so
we used to try and record, you used to, for a very short period of time, be able to record radio shows that way.
I would record off the radio, and I would record, like, here comes a song. And so I never got, like, the first four seconds of the song. But I would get the end of the DJ talking, so I would memorize the thing that the DJ said.
There was a period of time where everybody was so mad that DJs would talk over songs, because this is what they were trying to do.
Yeah. Well, they still get mad when you talk over songs. Trust me. Ask me how I know. So, yeah, I just thought that was always funny, because I ended up being a DJ, and I think it's because I emulated all of the DJs when I would – do recordings off the radio. It's 27 degrees outside right now. It's 9:44 a.m. Beautiful
DJ?
Day. Oh God, yeah.
When you were growing up?
So there was two shows that I listened to, and one was Steve and Vicky, and they played like more poppy music, and I kind of grew out of them. And then I went to listen to this morning show, which had this woman named Leslie Fram. And the funny thing is, later on in life, I was on the Steve and Vicky show, and then I went to work for the company and I was on the same morning show as Leslie Fram. So I thought it was, yeah. So I remember my first day and with them, and I was like, oh my God, I'm seeing her.
You were like 12.
Yeah. I was like, people love it when you go, oh my God, I used to listen to you when I was a kid.
Yeah, they love that when it's the first thing they hear out of your mouth.
Yeah. That happens to me now, and I'm like, oh God. Great. Another thing you did for the last time was you looked up movie times in the newspaper instead of like online.
When's the last time you actually looked at a newspaper?
When I would find movie times. I read USA Today all the time my phone.
On your phone. Yeah, I mean, actually flipped pages of a newspaper probably when I was at a hotel and they put it under my door.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even think I'm like, oh, that's nice. Thanks for not anything I'll use. But yeah, this was the move, looking up the movie times. That's how you used to find, you know, or you call the theater and have to listen to 9 hours of recording. Dumb and Dumber is going to be playing, starring Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. It'll be playing at 4:12, 6:15.
And that's when they had one movie at the theater too. And
at some point you went to Blockbuster for the last time.
Oh yes.
To rent a movie, then Netflix.
I wonder how many never returned the last movie they rented because it went out of business.
Yeah, exactly. I remember they were like, they're selling their movies for a dollar. What?
And if you're younger, you don't realize how much they used to charge you if you returned them late. I paid more late fees for returned movies to the rental store. Oh my God.
Yeah, Redbox is a dollar. They got nothing on Blockbuster. It was like $5.99. Yeah, and exactly. God forbid you lose it. It was $125 a movie.
Exactly. You it's made like library books. I never returned those on time either.
Yeah, no. You made your last phone call on a landline. How about library books? I do check them out because Lucas likes to go to the library. But
I haven't been to a library in literally 20 years. Are there actually still books in the library?
Yes, there are.
Oh, wow.
Yes, there still are.
How old school is that?
A little bit closer to home, that time that you had to send the last text message where you had to hit A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. You had to hit the 2 button 3 times.
God,
to get
we texted a lot less because it was such a pain in the ass.
Yeah. I still am like, why don't you just call me? I have somebody who wants to come look at the horse, and I'm like, you must be under 30 because you will literally, they'll text you. And you're like, she texted me yesterday, and I was like, I'm getting ready. I'll just call her. And they don't answer. Like, why the hell don't you answer? Oh, God.
You're old, too.
Remember when you had to print out directions?
Oh, yes. Because I was a salesman. I drove to people's farms at night in the middle of nowhere.
I remember going, if you don't know where you live, how am I going to know where you live?
Even before that, you could print them out. You had to use the map because there was no printing them out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. what was the website you used to print out?
Oh, MapQuest.
MapQuest.
Exactly. See, I told you how many times I used it.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when you had a cassette tape and all the ribbon would come out and you'd have to stick a pencil in and twist it. Do you even have pencils anymore? I mean, like Lucas does his homework in pen because I don't have any pencils. And if I did have a pencil, I certainly don't have a sharpener.
You don't have one of those sharpeners?
No, I don't. Let's see.
Sound like two old farts talking about the past right now. You realize that?
Well, you know, this one is funny too because, again, this is a list off BuzzFeed and it drank out of the hose for the last time. And I was thinking, I drink out of the hose all the time.
See, that's a worse person thing. Nobody else drinks out of hoses except worse people. But then nobody cleans poop, gets it all over their hands, and then eats lunch without washing their hands either. So
yeah,
there's that.
I would never do that. That'd be weird. When you were dumping out cereal and a toy came in your bowl, like fell out
do
in your bowl.
Do they have toys anymore?
Lucas and I went and we bought a specific cereal because they had frozen tattoos in it and they didn't have any frozen tattoos in it. It was stuck to the box. So like, I think it's like the people eating, you know, the litigious society we live in. Like, yeah.
You can't give little toys anymore.
Right? Yeah. Let's see.
Well, I had three brothers, so we would fight over that box when it came in the house because we all wanted the toy.
Yeah, exactly. And then you'd be elbow deep in a bowl of cereal. Yeah, exactly. And a box of cereal. Another one was, today's kids will never know the struggle of having to wait for a VHS to finish rewinding.
Ugh.
I'd be like, why don't you rewind it after the movie?
And then you recorded a whole bunch of stuff on it. You got to find it in the middle.
True. let's see. I think that a lot of these are like the last time you rode the school bus. But I'm still kind
How about
immersed.
The last time you sent pictures, your film to get processed in the mail?
Oh, God.
In the little envelope.
In the mail. Wow. And then you'd get your dang pictures back and there'd be 150 pictures of nothing.
Nothing. And then one good one.
Well, we would jump a jump 4,000 times to try to get the photo of the horse tucking its knees proper. And you'd get your film back of, how many were there? Like 36?
Yeah.
You get 36 pictures of the horse about to take off or landing. Never get like that midair shot.
And now, you really like, had to think about taking pictures. I mean, you had to be, you just didn't take any old pictures. It was expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to cost you. So those are some of the things that you don't remember doing for the last time that you've done for the last time. So, and so I was trying to think of like, what would now be? And like, I don't go to stores anymore. I just Amazon things or Horse Lovers things, or but I just buy stuff online. I don't go to stores, which is why all the malls are going out of business. Remember when you used to go to the mall and like hang out?
Once a week. Yeah, just because.
Like, just go to the mall.
And you just eat at the food court because everybody ate at the food court.
It's true. It's true. And now you're like, food court doesn't have a drive-thru. That's weird. I can't Postmate that food to my house? What?
Do By you get way, any delivery where you are? Talk about a horse world problem. I'm going to do a first horse world problem. Because we all live in the country. We can't even get pizza delivered. We get nothing.
No pizza delivery here. You have to Uber Eats it, which
We don't get that.
Oh, our neighbors was like, we'll just Uber eat some pizza over, and it was three pizzas and it was like $120. I was like, and we're never doing that again. Now, remember, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem, and that is just the way that we live these days. Now, these are things that have been submitted by our listeners. These are real life problems that our listeners have, and you should totally feel sorry for them, like Kristen. I'm really sad for you, Kristen, because she says, my husband is taking me to Paris for my birthday next week, so I'm going to miss a clinic with a 5-star eventer that weekend. They post the dates for the clinics ahead of time, Kristen.
Kristen, if you were truly dedicated, I bet you could find a clinic in Paris.
That's what you could do.
And then you can he'll file for divorce, and you won't have the problem ever again.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. Carrie says that I just started a half lease on a fancy dressage horse who currently doesn't jump. So I didn't get to ride in my barn's drink champagne, eat snacks, and jump fences ride yesterday. I want to hang out at your barn.
I was going to say, we never had one of those.
I want to drink champagne and eat snacks and jump things. That sounds amazing. Wow. Chelsea said,
Does she live in the Hamptons? Where she live?
I know, right? Oh my God. Let's go to Kayla. Kayla is so sad, and I know you're excited about this, but she says, I'm packing to move to Florida, and it is so hard. I don't want to overpack, but it kind of gets cold, but it's also warm, so I need to pack all the horses' blankets plus the fly sheets, which means I have to pack all that for myself, too. Oh my God, I overpacked again.
Kayla shows up down here every year with like 2 trailers full of crap. She does.
You
overpack.
Never know what you're going to need, Glenn.
And Kayla's what, about 90 pounds and is tiny. So it's not for her.
We dress for mood, Glenn. We dress for mood. Linda
Kayla,
says,
we're looking forward to having you back. It's always fun to have Kayla around.
I have an invite to move to a friend's arena barn for the remainder of the winter, but now I have to decide what gear to take, pack up all my stuff, hook up the rig, load my boy, and actually move on top of deciding which new truck I want to buy. And so I need a personal mover and a personal truck shopper.
Dodge Ram 3500. There, sold.
I didn't realize how crazy Dodge people were. And Lucas's friend came over and the mom goes, I knew I liked you. And she looked at my Dodge and she was driving a Dodge.
Dodge people and Ford people and Chevy. I mean, you're either one or the other. There's no in between.
Brenna says, I finally got my saddle back from repairs, but I spent more time readjusting stirrups than riding yesterday, and they still feel wrong. Kara says, I get to meet and take care of famous horses. What does Kara do for a living? But due to the privacy agreement at work, I can't tell anyone about them.
I don't know what she does for a living, actually.
I'm going to Google Kara, stalk her, and find out. Or send me a message. I won't tell anybody. I promise. Who's going to listen to me? Kimberly says, because I clean stalls, carry muck buckets, feed, and bedding every day along with riding my horse, my husband now thinks I'm perfectly capable of helping with the demo framing drywall of our master bath and closet remodel. You're not. Tell him you're not. Because if you get hurt doing that, who's going to carry all the water buckets? Him. Alexandra says my husband bought me a fancy wax barn jacket for Christmas, but my new Timothy alfalfa hay is super fresh and keeps getting stuck to it. And now I'm at work looking like a scarecrow.
Those wax jackets, just like they're like glue. Things just stick to them.
I've never had one, but it sounds like I already have enough trouble. I love wearing polar fleece, and I just don't understand why polar fleece can't repel hay. Krista says, I went to the gym yesterday morning, and my workout was so brutal. I couldn't even walk by the evening, and I was planning to go to the barn, so no horse time.
That'll teach you to go to the gym.
Krista, so here, this horse that I have in training, bless his heart, I was longlining him, and I went to pick up the line that was dragging there on. I picked up the line, and he totally freaked out and bolted. And I was like, oh, so what we do is we find the holes of the training and exploit them. And so the horse obviously gets scared when I bent down and stood up. So you know what I did for like the next 20 minutes as I took him out in the arena, and I did jump squats and lunges while longlining him. And I swear to God, I'm about to die. I can't move. But the horse, he's fine. He's okay
laughing
now.
He's at you the whole time.
He's like, look what I made you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. Pretty terrible.
Who's training who?
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's like, I'll make you get your butt in shape. Nana says, I just got back from 10 days in Florida over the holidays, and now I have to go back to work, and I'm not going to see my horse until Thursday. Digging those vacations.
Anyway.
Michaela says, I want to buy lots of fun outfits and saddle pads and bonnets and polos for my horse, but she's only a yearling and can't even wear them yet. Here's the thing. So I had baby Zara, and I purchased everything. And then I have Stan Lee, and yes, he walks around in a pink halter, and that's just how it's going to have to be. So buy all the things. Casey says, I just bought a 2019 Ford Fusion Hybrid with all of the extra features. But now I have to make an effort to keep it clean.
Yeah, that'll last 10 minutes.
I got a car for my birthday, and it looks like a tech room right now. It's a Beetle, and there's no room for anything, and I have it. Like, I have to put the top down. Why are you putting the top down? It's 43 degrees outside. Because I can't keep the top up because there's so much crap in it. And then Chelsea says she has to study for the test to get her CPA license, so she can't ride her ponies. Girl, get your CPA license, and then you'll have money to play with your ponies. It's a never-ending spiral of, like, I have to do these things so I can afford my ponies, but then I want to play with my ponies, but then I can't afford to play with my ponies because I'm not doing the things I need to do to afford my ponies.
Do you think, we need to ask this in the auditor room sometime, do you think there's actually people who enjoy jobs that aren't working with horses that are horse people?
I spent a long time trying to make a living from horses when I was younger, and I wasn't able to do that. I mean, my horses were
because
fine.
It's hard.
I just starved to death. And so I realized that once I got a job in radio, I was like, this affording horses thing is really fun. Like, I really like being able to go compete and not think about penny pinching. Like, am I going to be able to get food for myself? Oh my God. Angel hair pasta and a can of, what were the things that you ate when you were starving? Because I know that ramen noodles are very popular, but they're not vegetarian. I've been a vegetarian for like a million years. So I would get the angel hair pasta.
Ramen noodles aren't vegetarian, like, if you get like the vegetable kind of ramen noodles?
The pouches are not. The only flavor that was vegetarian was the oriental flavor, which,
oh,
by the way,
awful.
They've now changed the name of.
I don't think anybody ate the oriental
I think it's
flavor.
The Asian flavor. And so that was the only flavor that was vegetarian. And so I never ate those because then I'd have to eat them with no flavor or the terrible oriental flavor, which was gross. So I would get the angel hair pasta, which was like a package of pasta for 49 cents. And then you could buy the cans of just tomato sauce. And then they started putting garlic in it. You like garlic tomato sauce and put it on the angel hair pasta. And that's what I ate probably three meals a day for about 6 years.
I think Jennifer's, when she was in that mode, was peanut butter and jelly and ramen noodles.
Yeah. So that's the post that we need to go to the auditor's room and say, what is the food you ate
right,
when you were starving. So poor and hungry?
And we all have been there.
My dad came to visit me in Kentucky, and he was like, where's your refrigerator? And I was like, well, we don't have one, but the milk stays good on the porch for like 2 days.
Jennifer didn't have a refrigerator either. She had the microwave and that was it.
This is not any way to live. And I was like, this is the way that I live. And he's like, we're going to go buy you a fridge.
You know what I saw at the store the other day that I have not had since I was a kid? And my mom used to buy these because I think it shut up four boys, is SpaghettiOs.
Oh, God. Yeah.
They still sell them.
Yeah. And I fed them to Lucas, and he's like, what is this dog food? He thought it was terrible. That's funny. Like, I lived on this. How do you not eat it? And my mom would make Lean Cuisine cheese cannelloni and like a piece of buttered bread. And we were like, oh my God, this is the best meal.
And Hamburger Helper was always in there for us hamburger eaters. It was always Hamburger Helper. My mom made that a lot. All right, let's go to Deanne, who's joining us for the first time. She's coming to us, of course, from Horse Nation on her Monday stop. We have some fun things to talk to her about. Good morning, Deanne. Dan, we cannot hear you. I think your sound is goofy. Dan, I don't know if she can hear us or not.
I can hear you now.
There she is.
Welcome.
Thank you.
It's that darn microphone back. And that on-off switch is so confusing.
It is, but it wasn't the microphone this time. It was my headphones.
Okay.
So I had my headphones in and no sound was coming out.
That happens a lot to my hosts for some reason. But Deanne, well, happy new year, and we hope you have a fantastic one over there at Horse Nation.
Yeah, thank you. Happy new year to you guys, too.
Well, I love some of these, you know, Horse Nation around the holidays always posts a lot of kind of the classics, but we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the newer items, newer posts, and this one really resonated with me probably because of my Saturday night that I had. I got the kitchen pass, Glenn, to go out with my friend Larissa. We're just going to go be girls and like go downtown and go to downtown Oklahoma City, which I've never been to. And we're going to go party. She called it get white girl wasted and Uber home. And I was like, that sounds amazing. And then I realized Oklahoma City is like 45 minutes away. I cannot. That's too far. I don't leave my neighborhood. So we went to downtown Norman. And so some of the things, and it says, top 10 things equestrian professionals do on vacation. And this one resonated to me because of vacations and also because of that night. And the number one thing is not sleep in, because we don't sleep in at home. And so we can't sleep in. Do you feel like you're like that too?
You know, I always do. And this morning was an example. I had to set my alarm. I had to do something non-equestrian related. I didn't have to wake up until closer to 6. I was up at 4 a.m.
Yep.
Oh, Lord.
Yep. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go back to sleep. Like, there's no reason for me to be up this early. Nope. Not a possibility.
The latest I slept in over break was 6:30.
Yeah.
That was all I could do.
Chad actually came into the bedroom and he was like, are you okay? And I'm like, you're waking me up. Why? He was like, because it's 7:45. Oh, wow. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. But the second thing that you do when you have horses and you go out of town is you have to check your phone all the time because you're just sure somebody's going to call you to tell you your horse is hurt or sick or something or escaped or whatever.
Right. All the things that could possibly go wrong, you're convinced will happen when you're on vacation.
Yeah. And they do.
And don't you also start to worry when it's been 2, 3, 4 days and you haven't heard anything? Then it's like, are they not telling me something? Because they want me to have a good time. You guys are all paranoid.
I make my farm sitters send me photos of Zeus. I was like, I need proof of life. Is he in his stall? Where is he? Now, number three reminds me of my Saturday night because my friend Larissa is also a horse person. And we went to Met for dinner and we sit down at the Winston. It's like super fancy and fun. And number three is start yawning at 7 p.m. We met at 6:30 for dinner. 6:30. That apparently is before anybody goes out. And we both sit down and we're just like yawning messes because it's dark and you go to bed at dark. Right?
Right.
Deanne, you put your kids to bed at what time?
Cutlobian that becomes, too.
What time do the twins go to bed?
Oh,
as soon as she can get him there.
Yeah, that's the right answer. But let's see, my son, he's in bed between 7:30 and 8:30 pretty much every night. My daughter's a night owl. And so she's in bed at the same time, but what time does she go to sleep? That's an excellent question.
Do you check on them 55 times to see if they're sleeping yet?
No, I pretty much hope there's no noise.
Yeah, just be quiet. Just if you not sleep, just not sleep in the dark by yourself.
Right.
That doesn't work in my house. Mom! Well,
yeah, my kids are finicky eaters, and my daughter's the queen of not eating, and I'm like, whatever, go to bed. And she'll be like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, no, you're stalling.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Chad's like, you can't send our kid to bed hungry. I'm like, watch me. It's going to happen. Yeah,
maybe so, they'll eat at dinner next time.
Yeah, one of the magical things about nowadays, it's so easy, and the science is there. We have what we call nighttime vitamins. And they're delicious.
We have those too.
Yeah, they're called melatonin, Glenn.
Do they have sleepy pills in them?
They're called melatonin.
For adults, we call them wine, but for the children, they're called melatonin.
Yeah, exactly. There's always something like, look, you can't sleep. Have you had your nighttime vitamin? No. Oh, okay, that's the problem.
Well, see, in my house, we call them nighttime gummies, but same exact thing.
Yeah.
So, have you two seen any of the late night shows in a long time?
No.
No, I haven't either.
When I was raising Lucas, I would record them and watch them during the day.
Yeah, but I've been actually live. When's the last time you fell asleep to the Tonight Show?
Not going to happen. Some of the other ones were check your emails from clients. Another one is to touch every furry mammal that you come across. What is it about being on vacation or being out of your house? You're like, oh my God, it's a dog. I've never seen a dog. Come here, dog. I need to pet you.
I don't know. It's not like we don't have plenty of our own, but get away from them and we've got to touch them.
And a horse. Oh my God, you guys will pull over in the middle of nowhere to see a horse at a fence. It's crazy.
That's true.
It's also kind of a catch-22, though, because if you do not notice the horses and you are traveling with somebody besides your significant other, hey, Jamie, look out the window. There's horses out there. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm on a train heading to Texas.
Yeah, like you really care.
I don't have to point out every horse. Like,
also, I see them every day.
I don't, and probably the standard of care is not going to be up. And I feel sorry for them and like feel like I need to go buy them and save them. By the way, I would like to say that I just gave you a direct quote from the train ride to Texas from Oklahoma City that I took for my father's 70th birthday. Jamie, there's horses on the left side of the train. Yeah, I know. Thanks. We're in Texas. They're everywhere.
Everywhere.
and then we talk about horses when we're on vacation. Then we talk about getting away more from the horses while we're playing with horses on our vacation. Lots of exciting, interesting things. So again, you can find all of these at horsenation.com. Now, Glenn has something special that he's decided to cook up for us.
So over the weekend, I asked, and Deanne, I don't know if you saw my email or not, but I asked over the weekend in the auditor room, if your horse was named after the last TV show or movie you just watched, what would it be called? And I thought it would be fun for the three of us to take these names and decide maybe what breed or gender or discipline this horse would be just by the name of the TV show or the movie. Okay? So I'll start with the first one. The first one was Parks and Rec, which I agree. One of the auditors posted that would be a pair of white minis. And I agree. I think Parks and Rec would be a great name for a pair of white minis. And they're pulling a little cart. That's just what I picture.
That would be perfect.
Parks and Rec, right? Pair of white minis. It just works, right? So I think that we can do that with some of these. Okay, so we'll start with our guest, Deanne. How about Outlander?
Oh, Outlander has to be like a Western ranch horse. Probably a gelding.
Oh, see, I saw a Frisian. For some reason.
Yeah, me too, because you think of those like types of movies and they're always riding Frisians
they
in
are.
Them.
That's true. Although she's probably more right. The real Outlander would be the quarter horse in the middle of nowhere. You're probably
right. And I have to admit to having never seen Outlander, so I just went with like what it brought to mind.
And you know what? I don't think I have either, actually.
I haven't either.
There was one, Super Wings. Do we know what that show? I don't even know what that is.
I bet Deanne and I know what that's what
I,
that is.
I know what Super Wings is. Yeah, this is a children's show.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's a children's show where the airplanes talk, Glenn. Duh.
Oh.
Why wouldn't you know that?
God.
So it's talking airplanes. I have never seen the show, but I'm going to go with Arabians then. A little flighty. They like to talk and go. That's my theory.
I'll go with that.
I can buy it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We're going to go with Arabians for Super Wings. God, there's a whole generation of shows that I never saw because I didn't have kids. The next one seems to be getting rave reviews. People love this show. Our listeners love the show. I tried it and got 10 minutes in and couldn't do it. And that's Witcher. Either one of you see it or seen the ads for it?
I haven't seen it, but I mean, you say Witcher and you think of a mare.
Well, right. And I was like, are we going by the name of the show or
yes,
what it's supposed to be
by the name
about?
Of the show. Yeah, Witcher.
Well, it'd have to be a mare, right?
Yeah, is it a redhead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I own one, so I can make fun of them. It's a chestnut mare.
What discipline does this chestnut mare do if it's called Witcher?
No discipline.
Whichever one she wants to.
Whichever one she wants, exactly.
All right, here's a good one for you guys. Bitchin' Rides, which is a car restoration show. Bitchin' Rides. Bitchin' Rides.
Bitchin' Rides would be like, I don't know. I would think a Bitchin' Ride would be like a pony. He's like, nah, I'm going to dump you.
That's pretty good. And I'm picturing a flashy pony that will dump you. That's what I'm saying.
What's really sad is I'm looking at this whole list, and basically the only ones that I've seen on this list are children's shows.
How about Nurse Jackie? Who would be the nurse in the group of breeds? The one that takes care of you, Nurse Jackie.
I don't know.
I
feel like that's like your honest sort of alpha mare, but not like not the bitchy one. You know, the one that just kind of keeps the herd in order, makes sure there's not too much drama.
Yeah. Yeah, I would
kind
agree
of like
with
a draft cross.
A draft cross. Yeah, I would say that. Or even a draft horse because they're all kind of just mellow.
Right. Doesn't take any crap and just, like I said, keeps things in line.
Yeah, and they take care of their owner. They take care of you for the most part. So, yeah, I go with that. All right. I'm going Percheron on that one then. A big black Percheron. Rise of Skywalker. That's the latest Star Wars movie. So, Skywalker.
I still haven't seen it, and I don't even want to talk about it.
All right, next.
Yeah, we're not Star Wars people.
No, I am, and I still haven't seen it. And I'm
you don't want any spoilers. Oh, no gotcha. Spoilers for you.
Because of children, you know.
Yeah, because you're stuck right watching Super Wings and Paw Patrol. Exactly. Dear God, Paw Patrol. I literally let my child start watching at 5 PG-13 movies because I was so sick of Paw Patrol. It's like, I cannot. You want to watch Thor Ragnarok? You're 4? Okay.
Yeah. You want to watch the latest zombie movie? Here you go.
There you go. That's fine. I don't care. As long as I don't have to see Ryder and the pups.
How about Ripper Street? And let's just go with Ripper. What breed would be... What Ripper? Where do we fit that one in?
So I used to ride a horse named Jet. And Jet, as he would... you would ask him to go over a jump, he would fart every time he would go over a jump. And we called it Jet Propulsion because that was like, I don't know what happened gastrically, but every time you jump, you would. And so that made me think of Jet.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't think of Ripper in
that's
that
awesome.
Way. Okay. I was thinking Jack the Ripper, but okay.
I'm sure that's what it's actually about. Not about some horse that farts when they jump.
Yours is funnier. All right. Cake Wars. Who's the fat one? Oh, it's got to be one of those in-hand quarter horses, doesn't it? They just wallow along.
I'm pretty sure you have a pony that would wallow.
Yes, I do too. I think we've all had that pony, Cake Wars. There's a mini in our neighborhood. The owner was out the other day that looks exactly like a black Thelwell pony. I think it's a mini. This is a miniature mini. And its belly hits the ground. It's as fat as a house and the cutest little mini you've ever seen. It's
dwarf
so cute.
Mini, yeah.
Dwarf mini. It's so cute. How about the Science of Stupid?
Is that a show? I would say that,
first of all, this horse has no discipline because it's always lame.
Oh, God, you nailed it. It's just lame. It's just the lame horse in your barn.
And I feel like it's probably a gelding, but that's because I'm a mare person.
And I'm going to, you can send your hate mail to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. I went with Appaloosa on this one because we've had some stupid Appaloosas.
Yeah, send your complaints.
Sorry. They're not all stupid, but we've had some dumb Appaloosas. And then the person who posted this, first of all, get off of Christmas already, Grinch. So if that's the last show they watched, either they haven't watched TV since Christmas or they're still stuck on Christmas, one or the other. Grinch, what breed is just grouchy?
I think it's a particular horse thing. It's just some horses are more grouchy than others. Like, for example, hashtag damn it, Zeus. Every time you walk, like, I'll have these horses in training, and Zeus is in prison right now because of a tendon injury, but he can poke his head out. And anytime I walk, not a horse that I haven't ridden, but if I ride a horse and then put in the cross ties, untack it, and all this, and I walk it by him, he will pin his ears and try to bite it as it walks by. So I think he's jealous. Do horses get jealous? Is that a thing?
I think they do.
Yeah, he's like, I hate you because you're taking my mom's attention when she's shivvying to me, so I would call him the Grinch.
There you go. Sold. How about, Deanne, how about the Crown?
See, I think this also has to be a mare, and I think it's got to be the one who just knows she's the poo. You know, it's like the one who loves to work. She carries herself. She's good. She knows it.
Yeah, and she's going to strut. She struts a bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's, she's fabulous.
Fabulous.
She's like an eventer or a dressage horse. You know, she knows what's up.
It's got to be a warm blood, doesn't it? It's kind of got to be a warm blood with a big mane. How about the – now, you guys haven't seen this because you don't keep up on this stuff, so we'll skip that one. How about Breaking Bad? Who's the bad?
It's a barrel racer.
That's perfect. I didn't even think of barrel racer. I like that one. Jamie, pit bulls and parolees.
Pit bulls and parolees.
I went right away to damn it, Zeus.
I mean, he is a pit bull and he's not quite yet a parolee, but he will be. So I'll go with that.
Pit bulls and parolees. I kind of thought of a Mustang, actually.
As a Mustang.
See, that's actually where my brain went.
Yeah, because they could be both. And they go to jail to get trained. So it's perfect.
That's exactly where the connotation came from for me. I'm like, I've seen this story.
Yeah. All right. How about Jumanji?
Which Jumanji? I mean, are we talking like the Robin Williams Jumanji? Are we talking Jumanji 1 or Jumanji 2? Because in Jumanji 2, there might be a horse thing. And
well, how
I want
about
that one.
Jumanji's just kind of mystical and magical. So who are the mystical and magical breed?
Andalusians.
Yeah.
They're like... a gray Andalusian. But yeah. Jumanji, like, I think of stress. Like, Jumanji is a lot of work to play that
game. I was thinking
game.
Of bringing in the horses at feeding time.
Oh, God. And there's a stampede of hippopotamuses.
Right.
And you're supposed to run. Yeah, I got you. I'm with you.
And you that wish there was that barn. Door you could open where they could just go through it and disappear for
Say
a while.
Say the name, Jumanji, and you just disappear. All is right in the world. Now, the last one was the one that I put because when you posted this and I logged on, I realized the last movie that I watched was A Star is Born. And that's the one with Bradley Cooper.
Oh, you probably
and Lady.
Loved that, didn't you?
Well, if you've seen A Star is Born, it can get a little stressful. So after A Star is Born, because Chad had never seen it, I was like, we need to cleanse our emotions. And I put on Sleepless in Seattle because that's one of the ones that I can watch. And like, everybody's so happy and it works out so well. So I was like,
was Sleepless in Seattle one of the ones with the airport scene that can never happen again because of security?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
he sees her get off a plane because they're saying goodbye to somebody else. Yeah, that's another one of those things from the list earlier. Is like, when was the last time you walked somebody to the gate? Or picks up somebody at the gate at the airport?
It takes like 3 extra levels of security and a special pass.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. No, you can't even get your grandma.
Oh, so I've flown by myself with my 3 children a couple of times. Bear in mind that they are only now like 5 and 8. So I did this in like previous years and I tried to get a gate pass for like the person at the other end to meet me at the gate. They would not grant it.
No.
they were like, it has to be an unaccompanied minor. And I was like, choose one. I'll leave it.
That's funny. I'm accompanying one of them. That leaves two. That's funny. So, A Star Is Born, what breed you got for that there, Jamie?
Oh, I can't even with that show, that movie. It's just too intense. And so, but I did watch the Grammys last night. I'm sorry, the Emmys. Is it the Emmys was on last night?
Wasn't it the Golden Globes, actually?
Golden Globes. That's what was on. The Golden Globes was on last night.
They all look the same with that amount of wine.
It's true. And, well, I watched it because they did a whole thing on Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And he got some sort of like Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
And they did one of the packages of his movies. And I ended up recording it because it was so phenomenal. That dude has been in every awesome movie. I don't think he's made a bad. I mean, he's been, I like to think of it like he gets lost a lot. Like, we have to find him all the time. We had to find him on the desert island. We had to save him from Apollo. We had to, there's like so many times.
In the cave with the big rock chasing him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where did he go? Where is Tom Hanks?
By the way, they're doing another Indiana Jones movie. Indiana Jones 5 is starting to film this year. Lucas Productions.
How do they even afford to pay Harrison Ford that much?
I don't know. How can he do action movies anymore? He's like 80. He looks.
You know what though? I won't lie. I've always said that he's my hall pass. I don't even care if he's 80.
Yeah.
So I'll see it. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull wasn't even good. I'll still see it.
Yes.
Somebody's got to be buying tickets. Deanne is that person.
That's right.
Cool. Well, thank you for finding this list, Glenn, or putting it up on Horses.
Oh, this
in the
was there what? Were over 150 comments, so this one hit home with people.
And that means a lot of people watch TV and movies.
Yes,
and are on the computer
and are on Facebook. Yeah.
Thank you, Deanne. What's going on? Anything that we should look for at Horse Nation?
We've got a couple of, well, one thing we're in the midst of, and granted this is a little bit of a repost, but it still deserves some attention, is we're reposting a series published by the Pollock Report about thoroughbred aftercare and kind of like where we are now, like what needs to be improved, you know, thoroughbred populations that are being well served, which ones aren't. And it's meaty, but it's like really good and really important. And I know like Jamie probably like near and dear to our hearts. So it's definitely worth looking at. We published the second in the series today and we'll publish the third tomorrow. So I think that's definitely something to pay attention to. And then of course we have all of our usual horse ridiculousness that we like to bring everyone.
Well, and Jamie, I read the first couple of those and, you should take a look at that with Retired Racehorse Radio. It's just what you guys talk about. I mean, it's everything that you guys try and talk about.
Yeah. Thanks for the plug, Glenn. If you guys are interested, you can go to retiredracehorseradio.com. Maybe we'll have Deanne as a guest to kind of go over what she's posted, what she's learned.
See? I got that in there. Beautiful transition. Perfect. Horsenation.com. Thanks, Deanne.
Sure thing. Have a great day.
All right. Well, that's it for today. Oh, wait a minute. We got to do our happy stories quick.
Yes, we have happy stories.
Michael Muir. He is a fantastic guy. He has multiple sclerosis. He's 67 years old. Over the past 55 years, he's represented the United States four times in world and international championships in carriage driving. He actually has won champion honors in Germany, Austria, France, and Great Britain. And in 2005, he formed a group called Access Adventure, where he gets disabled people in wheelchairs, injured veterans, at-risk youth, and he takes them out and he teaches them to drive and ride. But the cool part about him is he has carriages that are set up for that. So the ones that can't even do therapeutic riding, they can do therapeutic driving. And he's been doing this for years. He also teaches them about ecology, preservation, wildlife habitat. He lives in California, and his organization is absolutely fantastic. I wanted to give him a plug. It's called...
Get him on the show!
I know. We need to get him on the show. It's access-adventure.org. And he's done all of this while suffering with multiple sclerosis. He can't even ride himself anymore. He's in a wheelchair. So what a cool guy, and what a happy story for the people that he is helping out there in California. And yours?
Well, I took a different approach to the happy story. You tend to want to celebrate people that do amazing things, and I just celebrate people that do weird things. And this is a couple was on their way to New York, I believe from London, and they were going to take a holiday to New York City, and they're going through airport security. Have you read the story?
No.
They're going through airport security, and the airport security is like, whose bag is this?
Oh, no. Was there a gun?
That's mine. And this is Nick and Vori Cool were surprised when they got pulled off to the side and they got ushered into a room with their hand, like carry-on baggage. And they're going to celebrate their 40th birthdays. They've got to like get to their flight. They're going to New York City and they've been pulled apart by security. And security's like, whose bag is this? And the lady's like, it's mine. It's my bag. And they opened it up and inside it was their cat.
Intentionally so, or intentionally.
Candy the cat decided to sneak into their carry-on luggage, and the couple said that the airport staff, when they realized it was an actual mistake and they weren't smuggling animals, everybody had a good laugh. And now they have to get their cat home, but they have to catch a plane, so they ended up having to call some friends, and they called friends who drove out to the airport, picked up the cat in the bag, and took the cat home. So congratulations, Nick, you've made it to New York City, and your cat is now safe at home because of your friends that picked him up. Thanks, Barry and Lorna.
You can so see this happening, too. But I
fight it all the time. Whenever I take the horses somewhere, I have to make sure there's no chickens in the trailer. So it's like you have to always be alert.
I got a feeling the last cat we had, the Beast, you would have heard him all the way to the airport. There wouldn't have been no quiet cat hiding in a bag. No.
God.
We would have known 2 minutes into the ride that there was a cat in that car.
Now, Glenn, what did you learn today?
I learned today that, boy, they're having a tough situation in Australia, but, boy, what a tough group of people down there. If there's anybody who knows how to handle tough situations, it's the Australians. And I still love the Australian accent, by the way. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it's a beautiful thing. I would like to say that I learned that I would give $75 to see you getting run away with as you're driving a cart while your pony's pulling you.
Someday, that's what I would do. I may have that video and I'm going to charge you $75.
I put a price on it. So there you go, people.
You need to tell Jennifer really that. She'd probably like to make $75.
All right, y'all. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
And don't forget, if you want to become an auditor, just head on over to horseradionetwork.com and click on the auditor banner on the right side of the page. Stacy Westfall is here tomorrow, and she will be taking calls. So if you want to ask Stacy a question, you can call between 10 and 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And the phone number is on the website at horseradionetwork.com and horsesinthemorning.com. But she'll be here doing some training talk, and then Jamie will be back on Wednesday. So we'll talk to you all later in the week.